So, we thank the YAP program there for, or the Theo's Clubhouse, all those kids singing and sharing that song and the reminders that it is for us. But before we get going into that, we do have some baptismal certificates to hand out to Colton and Summer. We're immersed last Sunday afternoon. And so we were grateful for that. And just a way of letting our light shine, continuing to prepare for revival. We do that individually. We do that collectively. And as was shared, we'll be looking for that next week. And so carry-in dinner next week as well. So plan on staying for that. But much to continue to remember to pray for in the kingdom and its sake, that's for sure. So this little light of mine, won't let Satan blow it out is what we're looking at today. Our text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, remember as we looked last week, that this is where Jesus is talking to the disciples and those that would follow him, which is even us today. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so really of all the verses that we sing of that, we call it a kid's song, but it's just as effective for us adults. This portion that we're looking at today and won't let Satan blow isn't really in the text that we're looking at, but I do believe the thought is there all throughout scriptures, and we're going to be taking a look this morning. For those of you that always keep track of point, we just got 2 points this morning. 2 points for our sermon. The first one that we're going to be looking at this morning is what we've entitled The Faithful Flame. The Faithful Flame. We do a lot of teaching and reading of the parables. Most of the parables all start off something like this. The kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven is whatever. This one that we're going to look at here in Matthew 25 is not a parable of a current event, but of preparing them for the view of the future. Because it says the kingdom of heaven will be compared to. So it's a little bit, Jesus is changing things up a little bit here. In our understanding and what that's going to be about. So he says it's going to be compared to or comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, They all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him! Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no. There will then not be enough for us and you too. Go instead into the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And these who were ready went in with them to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. And so as we look at that and we really talk about this and think about this here this morning, we see the closing events, what judgment's going to be like, the closing of the heavenly gates. In other words, remember, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom, and yet and then in this parable we see that the doors or the gates are shut, and nobody else is going to be able to come in. This is some of and needs to be expressed, especially I hear it more and more in churches today, this whole idea of premillennialism. They want to tell us that you can live your life the way you want to, and then the Lord's going to come back to this earth and set up his kingdom, and then you'll have a second chance to give your life to Jesus. You know who wins in that case? The devil. Because after you have lost your life because there is no way that there is no setting up of the kingdom on this earth, you have sold out that there's going to be a second chance. And so all Satan's going to do is look at you and say, no, sorry. Oh, maybe I was wrong about that. And by that time, then you'll be lost. And that's why when it says this parable, this story here of the ten virgins, and I think as we look at this, and sometimes it's a we look at the other parables, and it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. It'll be like this. The church will be like this, and I think this is the same way here. That the church is going to be here. And you've heard me say this before, that people have looked at me and said, you're so narrow-minded, Dave, that you think that only the Church of Christ is going to heaven. I think we look at this parable here, and I'm so narrow-minded, I'm not convinced that everybody in the church is going to heaven that's claiming to be a Christian, because of way it's laid out here. These 10 virgins, these ones that are prepared, they've got their lamp. They've got the Word of God. But we notice something that's different that I think that we overlook many times in this situation. Is so they've got the Word of God. We see that in the Old Testament. The lampstand was a representation of the Word of God. They've got their lamps, and Jesus is saying, you know, they're prepared. These people, these ones have even prepared their life because they have remained pure. They have remained chaste. They have remained holy. They have remained everything that God would want them to be. And how many times do we look at that and we look at the denominational world and we see some of the people in the denominational world and we say, they are just really good people. And they are. But there's something missing. And I think that as we see this, we see what becomes lacking in even especially the church today. So what happens? The Lord, right? Because we were told 2,000 years ago, remember, if you don't work, you don't eat, and the Lord's getting ready to come, and here we are 2,000 years later, and the Lord still hasn't come. Right? That's what the Thessalonians were looking for. They were looking for his return, and so all the church since then has been waiting for his return, and some of them in the church give up. They've prepared their life. They've lived their life for Jesus, but they give up something very valuable, and I don't think they even realize it until they have quenched it, if you get where I'm going here, that this whole idea of the Holy Spirit. And when I say the idea of the Holy Spirit, what I'm talking about is then how we as Christians receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. These ones that are in the church, and that's what, just to back up just a bit, that's what we have to honestly believe, church, is that that is the difference between the church, the body of Christ, and the denominational world. Because at the time of our immersion, where we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the oil. That is the oil that feeds that lamp that we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. And there are many Christians today that do everything right, but they fail to fill their life, their lamp, with the Holy Spirit. And they live their life and they look like they're right. The flame's even burning. But then at some point, they let Satan it out. And this is where we need to be very careful. Do we have that faithful flame? This is a sobering thought for us to recognize, that the thought that not all the virgins entered into the wedding feast. And so as when we think of that, in other words, there was a time that was set. That time was the same time for everyone. Pay attention to that. That kind of shoots premillennialism in the foot. Because what they want to say is, so some can become Christians now and be saved, and then some can do that later. No, the door's shut the same time for everybody. When that will be, I don't know. But these here, these 10 virgins, some said, well, you know, our lamps are starting. We're gonna run into town. We're going to go get some more. Now, wouldn't it have been great, right? We look at this. Wouldn't it have been great when they turned to the other five and said, give us some of your, right? And that's what it's going to be like. That there are going to be the church. There are going to be some Christians that lean over to the other Christians and say, why don't you give me some of that holy attitude that you had? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is. Why don't you give me some of that holy attitude, that Holy Spirit from your life? And we would think on the outset, look, sounding good. Yes, we're going to let our light shine. We're going to share that with other people. Because there are times in the Scripture that you are told that you need to take responsibility for yourself. I'm saying something there, church. Right? You have to take responsibility for yourself. You can't live your whole life saying, well, this happened to me when I was younger, when I was growing up. Somebody did this to me. Oh, somebody in the church, they talked about me here. They did. You know what? Get over it. You need to take responsibility for yourself. If your lamps aren't trimmed and burning bright, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Because it's an inside job to keep that lamp lit. Let that light shine. Be faithful in that flame for Jesus. As we said, they had prepared themselves. They had prepared a holy body. This wasn't just a decision that was made flippantly. For one to be a virgin takes a long time commitment. Right? You can't say, oh, one day and then be like, oh, no, let's go back to that. No, it doesn't work that way. They made the preparation for the whole time, the long. But they failed in their efforts. And I think that's another comparison that needs to be made of the church today. They may look good on the outside. They were immersed into this watery grave of baptism. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but they let that run out of their life. They let it be quenched. They didn't continue to grow it. They didn't continue to let it be the emphasis and the leading of their life. And so the lamp looked good. It was even burning bright there for a while. But their efforts weren't there to continue the faithfulness the faithful flame. In other words, their lamps became futile. Their lamps failed to ensure their readiness. Church, faithfulness is not a pick and choose type of endeavor. I am 100% faithful to Jesus, except for in this area right here. So you can't have except for and 100%. It doesn't work. We must get ready. And this passage here tells us that we need to get ready and we need to stay ready. Let that light shine. Satan will use all sort of distractions to get you to forget about the need of preparation and keep your light aflame until the very end. He will use your job. He will use your family. He will use your mental and emotional state. He will use relationships. He will use the finances in the world, the economic system. He will use whatever he can to get you to forget about the fuel that you need to keep your lamp burning bright. All these things that we say are of such great importance in our life, if they get in the way, if they are a distraction, if they keep us from keeping our lamps trimmed and bright, they're nothing more than a distraction that leads us to destruction. And we need to make sure we understand that. Let that flame burn faithfully. We make a decision to serve the Lord. And so that's what, you know, we've got a few new ones that have become Christians. I'll continue to have this be my encouraging words to you. Be faithful to Jesus. If you're here and you've been a Christian for 60 years, be faithful to Jesus. What can I do? Be faithful to Jesus. Why is that? Because of our next point, number two. Satan is trying to stifle the shine. He's trying to stifle the shine. In other words, there'd be nothing greater than for him to be able to go into the Old Testament tabernacle and make it so the lampstand wouldn't burn. There's nothing greater that he would have was then to go to your life and make it so the Holy Spirit, the fuel of our life, of living for Jesus Christ, that we would quench that, that we would somehow let that run out of our life and not let it grow. To stifle that shine, Satan does his very best to put out our flame of faithfulness. The only thing that Satan enjoys more than someone not starting their walk with the Lord is that if you start your walk with the Lord and then quit, Satan would prefer it if you never do begin your walk. But we've seen it through the years. I'm not saying I wish we knew a way, but Scripture tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. He tells us that there are those that will be led to the wide gate of destruction, but the narrow path, few will find it. Satan wants to do whatever he can do to stifle your shine. And yes, there will be times in our life that we'll be struggling, and that flame might not burn as bright as it used to, but keep that flame a-burning. Let that light shine. Don't let Satan blow out your light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Paul says this: "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We say, well, we're either walk in the light or we walk in the dark. That's not what Paul said here. Paul said, you were darkness. You weren't just in the darkness. You were darkness. And that's what he's saying to us as well. You are darkness unless you are in Jesus Christ. There's no other way about it. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Is that what you're still doing? Right? What can I do in my Christian walk? Am I still trying to please Him? Or have we got to the point where, yeah, I've got it, then be careful. Hal shared in Sunday school this morning that Satan loves for us to get content. That we've been there, we've done that, and we've got it going on. Be careful. Learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And I think sometimes, and I know myself as your preacher that I do this, that so I even took Friday afternoon, was looking at something that I know, I'm positive that it's there. I've convinced myself of it. I look at Scripture, but I went and restudied again just to make sure, because I don't want to be distracted by the darkness of this world, and I want to continue to have that light shining in me so that I continue to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And I'm like, okay, just verifying. I went away and I thought, well, was that 2 hours wasted because all I did was remind myself? But I was like, no, because there was something in my mind that I needed to have alleviated from that. And I think making sure that I'm clear in my conscience, in my mind, is pleasing to the Lord. Then he says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. This means don't live in the shadows of the wickedness of the world. Well, I'm going to go here, or I'm going to do that, and I'm not going to do what the other people or the other kids are all doing, but I'm just going to go there and hang out with my friends. Let your light shine and expose those dark deeds of Satan. Because what Satan wants us to do is say, you know, that's okay. That's great. You can go there and you can convert the whole bunch. Right? Because we see that happen all the time. Right? It'd be wonderful if it did. That's not the way it necessarily goes. Verse 12, for it is disgraceful and even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, as we sang this morning, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and let Christ shine on you. Amen. Walk as children of light, not as ones cloaked and clothed in darkness. Put those things behind us. Don't let Satan blow your lamp out. Because we might say, well, we can just relight it again. That's what I was studying out the other day, Hebrews 6. Be careful. Be careful. Now, I believe that it's a lot harder for us to lose our faith and deny Christ than we think it is sometimes. We think that, well, we did something stupid, and so, oh, you know, I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, that's not the way it works either. Believe me, if you've committed the unpardonable sin, you know it. And so when we look at it and we see this in our life, there's a difference between giving in to a sin and living in a sin. Walk as children of light. Learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Abhor the deeds of darkness. See, here's the problem. As Christians today, we don't abhor the sins of darkness. Sometimes we're intrigued. Sometimes it captivates us. Sometimes we get closer to that crossing the line than we should. And that's why we all need to be reminded, arise, awake, O sleeper! He's telling the church. He was telling the Christians. This wasn't an evangelistic message of trying to convert people to come to Christ. He was talking to those that have already come to Christ. Awake! He's saying you just might have fallen asleep. Wake up, arise, and let Christ shine on you. Why? So that we can take that message out into the world and win the lost ones to Him. Church, we bring this message to a close this morning. Don't let Satan blow out your fire, your illumination, your flame for Jesus. Be on fire for Him today and keep those lamps trimmed bright and be ready. Always adding to that fuel, the Holy Spirit that the Lord has given us to let our light shine for Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to consider the darkness and the light, and we want you to serve Jesus. And it starts with believing in Jesus and who He is, that He's just not an apostle, He wasn't just a good guy, that He is the Son of God, and that He is the Son of the living God. And that we are willing to repent of our sins, the sins that put Him on the cross. Do you realize that even if only one of us here had ever sinned all of mankind, He would have still went to the cross for us? And yet He died for each and every one of us, because as we might think, there's only one here that's a sinner, and that's obviously the guy up front. But as we look, each of us falls short of the glory of God. Repent of that sin that separates. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Let that light shine. We do that as a verbal commitment when we become a Christian, and we need to do it each and every day of our life from then on out and be immersed into Jesus Christ. As we got to witness last month and last week of those arising to walk in the newness of life. The old man is dead, and Jesus now lives within us, fueled by the Holy Spirit. Then live faithfully. And here's that problem. That's what that whole parable of the 10 virgins is so you've done good. You've maybe you began your walk with Christ, or maybe you recommitted your walk to Christ and things have been so good and you need to be, you're being what you, and then somewhere along the line our light starts to fade and maybe even goes out. We do serve a good and loving God. We serve a wonderful Maker. And we serve a wonderful God. And you know what? As long as there's time now, there's still hope. Turn that life around. Rekindle that flame. Put the darkness behind and let the light of Christ shine on you. Let today be your day of salvation. Let today be your day of recommitment. Let today be your day of fully understanding what conversion is. That I'm all in for Jesus. I'm going to let that light shine and not let Satan blow it out. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?
Let's sing "The Light of the World is Jesus."